Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows. Machloikis tanoim, we will see a Tanaic disagreement, bedroshas haposuk, regarding how to explain the posuk that you find in Parshas Mishpatim and Shmois Perek Chof Aleph, which says, Im begapo yavo, begapo yetse. Number one, Eved Ivri eino yotse beirosh roshe evorim. An Eved Ivri is a Hebrew servant, a Jewish servant, unlike his heathen counterpart, an Eved Kanani. The Eved Ivri, if one of his limbs is knocked out, and the Torah features, in the case of Eved Kanani, Shein V'ayin, an eye or a tooth, Shein being a tooth, Ayin the eye, the Eved Kanani would go free. Not so with regard to an Eved Ivri. Number two, Nichnas Im Isha. The second approach is that if the Jewish servant enters his servitude already married, Rabo Moiser Lo Shifcha Kanainis, then the Torah provides an option for the master to give him, the Jewish servant, a heathen bondmaid with whom to procreate, and the children will become the property of the owner. Ve'im Lo, and if the Jewish servant entered the servitude without a wife, Lo Moiser Lo, then the master will not provide a heathen bondmaid for him with whom to procreate. The Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. Im begapo yavoi, begapo yetse. The first approach is begufoi nichnas, begufo yetse. And the Gemara will explain that. We already alluded to it in our introduction, but as far as the text, the Gemara will deal with that. The second approach, Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv Omer, yichidi. The word gapo he takes to mean singular. Im, if that's yichidi nichnas, yichidi yetse. If he entered single, he leaves single. Mai begufo nichnas begufo yetse. We've highlighted the introductory words mai in both cases regarding both of the explanations, and on the side under our structural note we have featured a crown shape. You can see the word my in quotation marks. That's the word we've featured. Hesber ha-gemora l'shnei ha-deyes hanal ha-moifim be-braiso. Here the Gemara is going to explain the two opinions we just saw in the Tanaic source. So the Gemara continues, my begufo nichnas begufo yetze. What does that mean? Omar Rava Lomar She'eno Yoitse Baroshe Evorim. The Eved Ivri, the Jewish servant, does not leave his servitude if the master knocks out, removes, injures one of the Roshe Evorim, one of the extended limbs. We're not going to detail all of the different limbs that would result in his freedom. Suffice it to say that the Torah makes reference to Shein, the tooth, Ayin, the eye. So here, this Tanaic source, the first opinion, is saying he doesn't go out, he doesn't go free from servitude, but Rosh Ivorim Ke'eved, as would be the case of an Eved Kanani, of a heathen slave. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye reacts to Rava's explanation. He says, Ahu, that point, the point that you're making, that an Eved Ivri does not go free through Rosh Evorim, Miloi Seitze Ketseisu Avodim Nafko. There's another pasuk that accounts for that. The other pasuk says, he shall not go free like slaves go free. The Gemara answers, Rava responds, Ime Hosam, had I had just that verse, Have Amino, Nesiv Le Domi, Demei Einei, Venepo. I would have thought, yes, we're going to treat the Eved Ivri differently than the way we treat an Eved Kanani. When Eved Kanani's Rosh Evorim are knocked out, he goes free, but there's no payment that accompanies that. In the case of an Eved Ivri, I would have thought that not only does he go free, but he receives compensation along with it. Komash Malon, therefore, we're told, not so. Let me just read that phrase again. Ime Hosam, had we had the Pasuk of Lo Yiseitze Ketzeis Avodim, where the Pasuk says that the Hebrew, the Jewish servant, goes out in a way different than the heathen servant, Havyamino, Nesiv Le Demei Einei V'Nepuk. I would have thought that the Hebrew servant, the Jewish servant, is given, in addition to his going free, is given financial compensation. The Nepuk means and then goes out. Komash Malon, we're told by the Pasuk Im Begapo Yovoi Begapo Yetze that he doesn't go out whatsoever with the injury of Roshe Evorim. A quote from above, Rebbe Elazar ben Yankev Oimer, Yechidi Nichnas, Yechidi Yetze. The arrow that you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara is simply to enable you to see where this quote comes from. My Yechidi Yetze. What is meant by that? Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rav Bar Yitzchok Hochi Ko Omar. Thusly, the Pasuk is teaching, Yesh Lo Isha Ubonim Rabbi Moshe Lo Shifo Kenanis. If the servant entering servitude has a wife and children, then the master can, against the will of the Jewish servant, give that Jewish servant a Hebrew a heathen bondmaid for the purposes of procreation, and as we said earlier, children produced from that bonding will remain with the master. Ein loy isho bonim, if the Jewish servant, when entering his servitude, does not have a wife and children, ein rabbi moiser lo shivcha kananis, then the master does not give him a heathen bondmaid. We're at a point in the Gemara where we have a starred note. And in the margin, we've written the following. Mumlatz, it is recommended, kehachona l'sugis ad chof alef amid beis, as a means of proper preparation for the upcoming discussions of Gemara until chof alef amid beis, which means quite a long way from now. In other words, the subject material from here till chof alef amid beis, it is recommended l'umoid chumish vayikra perek chof hei. It's recommended to open up and learn the psukim in Chumash VaYikra, Perek Chof Hei, Mipasuk Chof Hei Ad Sof HaPerek, from Pasuk Chof Hei till the end of that particular chapter, and we will make note later also of Perek Chof Zayin. We have written in a very concise form the psukim with their respective topics, so you can see Chof Hei through Chof Ches deals with Mechiras Ste Achuza, laws regarding the sale of a property that one has inherited, inheritance property. Choftes Lamed deals, Psukim, Choftes Lamed deal with Mechiras Bayis Bebote Ore Choma, the sale of houses in walled cities, cities that are in Israel, walled since the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Special halachas apply to sales and repurchase of houses in those locations. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Botei Chatzerim. That's a reference to sales of houses in open cities. Lamed Beis through Lamed Dalid, Nichsei Leviim, property of the Leviim. Psukim Lamed Hei through Lamed Ches deal with ribis, interest. Lamed Tes through Mem Gimel deal with Eved Ivri, Hanimkar LiYisrael, a Jewish servant sold to a Jewish owner. Memdalid through Memvav, Eved Kanani, Shel Yisrael, a heathen servant owned by a Jew. Memzayin through Memhe deals with Eved Ivri, Hanimkar Lugoy, a Jewish servant sold to a Gentile. And we've noted, Yesh La'ayin Nami Vayikra Perek Chav Zayin, one is highly recommended to look at the psukim in Sefer Vayikra, Perichov Zayin, Psukim Tesayin through Chof Aleph, deal with Makdish Steachuz, the one who sanctifies a field, an inheritance field. He sanctifies it to the Beis HaMikdash. And Psukim Chof Beis through Chof Dalid, Makdish Steachuz, the one who sanctifies a field that he purchased. there, you can see there's a wide range of topics that our Gemara will be touching on. And as we go through the Gemara, we're going to be making the assumption, in order for the sake of brevity, which we're not going to achieve so easily anyway, but otherwise we'd have this year would last many hours if we have to give the background for each one of these topics in detail. So in order for the shiur to be a reasonable length of time, we're going to work with the assumption that you already have some level of familiarity with all of the topics mentioned. On the in the margin, we have a topic heading, Chishuv Schum HaPidyon, the calculation of the amount for redemption money, Shel Eved HaYotze Al Yedei Giroin. A servant who works part of the time. A Jewish servant is to work, when he's purchased by a Jewish owner, 6 years. That's standard procedure. If he has worked part of the time and he comes up with cash in order to redeem himself, how much need he pay for his redemption? One scenario, Olo b'shavyoi v'meshech hashonim. One scenario that will be touched on in the Gemara is where his value increased. The slave, the servant market, the demand rose, and hence the value of servants rose. So if that took place, we have to figure, do we reckon with the current value of servant work or original purchase price? And likewise, Yorad b'shavyo b'meshech hashonim. There was a decrease in value, in cost of servants in the course of years. Schum ha'pidyon tamid yeh l'kula. We will reveal in the Gemara that the amount for redemption will always be to the lenient toward the servant. L'toyva sevet, for the benefit of the Jewish servant. The Gemara. Tonu Rabbonin, Nimkar b'mona v'shbiach v'omer al masayim. The servant was sold for a mona, let's say $100. And let's understand that this sale is for a period of 6 years of work. V'shbiach v'omer al masayim. And in the course of time, he went up to being worth 200. And let us say, for illustration purposes, he worked 3 of the 6 years. Minayin she'ein mechashvin lo ela mona. How do we know that we use as the basis of our calculation the 100, the amount that he was paid for him? That means that if he worked half the time, in order for him to redeem himself, he'll have to pay $50. Shene'emar mikesef miknoso. This posuk, once again, is found in the case of someone, a Jewish servant, sold to a Gentile. And the posuk indicates that the redemption is based on the amount miknoso that was paid for him. And in this case, he was only 100 was paid. We continue. Nimkar b'mosayim, if he was sold for 200, v'hichsif, and he depreciated, v'omad al mona, and now he's worth only 100. And as we said, he worked half the time period. Minayin shein mechashvino el mona. From where do we know that the calculation is made for a mona? Talmud lomar kfi shonav, in accordance with what he's worth now. Ein li ela eved hanim kalu eved kechavim. The calculation that we mentioned is true as far as the verses are concerned with regard to a Jew sold to a Gentile. We should point out that we mentioned the example of 6 years of work. That's an example that certainly is relevant in the case of a Jewish servant sold to a Jewish owner. As far as how many years does the Jewish servant work when he's sold to a Gentile owner, that may very well be a different calculation. But nevertheless, certainly the length of work won't go beyond Yovel. So there's a certain final point in which enables us to calculate how many years does he have left to work, at which point he's going to redeem himself. And we would have to calculate how much needs to be paid in view of how many years he's already worked, and in accordance to how much he is worth. Well, if he went up in value, how much was paid for him at the time he was purchased? And if he went down in value, so he'll be evaluated, the amount that will have to be paid will be in terms of how much he is worth now. So our source points out that the psukim so far indicate one sold to a Gentile. And we have this leniency, hoyel v'nigal b'kroivim, yodoy al hatachtona. Since he can be redeemed through the intervention of relatives, Jew sold in servitude to an idol worshiper, to a Gentile, the Torah provides for the Jew's relatives to redeem him. Therefore, there are multiple options for redeeming him. Therefore, the owner has the weaker position. Yodo ala tachtona. His hand literally is on the lower, meaning he's in the weaker position where the benefit is given to the servant. Nimkar li Yisrael minolan. What about a case of a Jew sold to a Jewish owner? In a case like that, the relatives are not the ones to redeem him. He would have to redeem himself. How do we know that the same law applies? Talmud Lomar, Socher, Socher, L'Gzeir Shava. The word Socher appears in both contexts, in the context of the Jew sold to heathen, as well as Jew sold to Jew. So if you see, in the case of Jew sold to heathen, the benefit is given to the servant. Likewise, in the Jew sold to the Jewish master, still the benefit is given to the servant. Omar Abaye, Hareini keben azai b'shuke Tveria. Abaye was musing, experiencing a certain type of, we'll say, intellectual high or spiritual epiphany, and he felt that he was like Ben Azai, who was a Tana who lived many, many years before, and Ben Azai was known as being a very sharp, brilliant Talmudist, able to answer any question. And Abaye said, I feel like him, like Ben Azai, who Ben Azai lived in Tveria, so he was seen in the markets of Tveria, and when he was seen there, people would ask him questions and he would answer. So Abaye expresses his feelings that I can answer any question. So one of the scholars said to Abaye, oh, you're ready to answer questions? Michti. Let's look into this. Hani kroi iko l'midrashinu l'kula v'iko l'midrashinu l'chumra. The psukim that were cited of kfi of mikesef miknoso and kfi shonov could have been we explain them l'kula in the direction of leniency, benefiting the servant. But you could have taken the same psukim and darshan them l'chumra, meaning stringently, not to the benefit of the master. Namely, that if the servant went up in price, so the redemption will be based on his now newer amount, newer cost. If he went down in price, so we'll base the redemption on the higher amount for which he was paid. My chazis the darshinu l'kula. What is it that you see fit to explain these psukim for the benefit? L'kula once again means leniently for the benefit of the servant. Nidrashinu l'chumra. Why not explain them in the other direction, in a stringent direction? Lo salka daitoch. So the Gemara answers, no, you can't think that our approach to redemption is going to take on a sense of stringency toward the servant. And why not? Mide'okil rachmona legabe, from the fact that the Torah expressed its leniency toward the servant, its willingness, its desire to see him leave servitude as easily as possible. And notice, by the way, we are beginning here a long answer. Desanya, the pasuk that deals with servitude, says ki tov lo imach, things shall be good for him, for the servant, while he is with you. Imcha b'maychol, imcha b'mishte, he's with you in eating, in drink. Shelote ato echol past nikia v'u echol past kevar, so you don't have a situation where you, the master, are eating bread made from fine flour, from well-sifted flour, and he's eating bread that's from poor quality, past kevar bread, of, let's say, poor quality bread, made from poor quality flour. Ato sheisa yayin yoshin v'u sheisa yayin chodesh. Nor does the Torah tolerate a situation where you're drinking high-quality aged wine and he's drinking rather fresh wine. It's not as desirable as Yayin Yoshin, as old wine. Ato Yoshin Agabi Muchim, you, the master, would be sleeping on soft material. Lu Yoshin Agabi Hateven, and he's sleeping on straw, which is less comfortable than muchim, soft material. Mikan Amru, from this, the sages have said, kol hakena eved ivri, anyone who acquires a Jewish servant, hakena adoin latzmo, it's as if he's acquiring a master for himself. In other words, he has to make sure that the servant is well provided. So this was brought into as a response to the suggestion that maybe when it comes to redemption amounts, we should darshan explain in a stringent fashion vis-a-vis the servant. We say, no, you see from here that we're treating the servant in as beneficial a way as possible. The Gemara raises a question. Notice we have a long question marking. It's very long because it takes in a long Tanaic source, takes it to the top line of Amud Beis. So now, the Gemara, and we also have a marking, this bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara, notice under the Mivneh heading, the bow ties represent Kushios, al hodarinon shishuma pidyon havi lekula. So notice, allow your eye to survey the Gemara ahead, and you'll notice as you go down the upper part of Amud Beis, a few more of these bow tie shapes appear. So these are all questions challenging the thesis that we've just presented, namely that we strive for leniency when it comes to amounts for redemption. So the Gemara here asks, is that really so? V'emo, let us suggest, hani mili, when do we say that we treat the servant in a beneficial fashion? That is true, the inyan achilushtia, regarding providing for him food and drink, so that he shouldn't feel discomfort. Food and drink is an issue of physical comfort. However, with regard to redemption, nachmir olei, midir Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi China, maybe we should come down hard on him. We should be stringent toward him, toward the servant, with regard to calculations for redemption from servitude. And why would you think we should be strict with him? Based on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanino's teaching, he has a very long Tanaic source that the Gemara will present momentarily, and the essence of it is that a person doesn't become a servant unless he himself has violated the laws of Shvius, the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year. In fact, there is a harshness with which we view someone who violated even the lightest aspects of Shemitah laws. In the meantime, we have this as our question. The idea of being benevolent toward the servant, that's with regard to immediate physical comfort matters, food and drink. But as far as calculations of how much he is to be redeemed for, there, look, after all, this guy is a sinner. Why should we make it so easy for him to get out to be released through redemption from servitude. Let him pay the price. What we're going to do momentarily, we haven't used our standard bracket marking for skipping, but let us anyway skip to the top of Omid Beis for a minute. Why are we doing this? Simply to show the question has been raised. The top line of Omid Beis at the end of the line says, Omale Hasam Ha'adre Kra. There, with regard to this whole issue of the sinfulness of the individual who finds himself sold into servitude, the Torah itself has a type of reverse or turnaround where the Torah is expecting us to show mercy toward the servant. And the Gemara will say, the Toni Rebbe Debei Rebbe Yishmael, the yeshiva of Rebbe Yishmael presents the following Taneg source on the third line from the top of Amud Beis. Since he's already become so depraved, if you will, or he's been reduced to such a lowly position, maybe we should just forget about him. And Talmud Lomar, acharei nimkar gulati alo echod me echov yigolenu. After he's been sold into servitude, one of his relatives shall come along and redeem him. So you see, the spirit of the Torah, even in that topic, is one of ultimate mercifulness. The Gemara, though, raises again a question, and we're not going to go over that now, because that Mitzvah Hashem will see later. What we've just simply tried to demonstrate is that, at this point, we're raising the basic question, maybe when it comes to the actual calculation for redemption, how much need be paid, there we should be strict. After all, this fellow is a sinner, as we said. And now, when we turn back to the Gemara text, you see, we continue with the large Tanaic source. So we pick up where we left off before we skipped, the Sanya. The Braisa begins with Rabbi Yossi Behuda. He will be darshaning psukim that are found next to one another, near one another, in Sefer Vayikra. There is one exception in this scheme of things. We'll point out the exception as we go along, but nevertheless, there is this sense of progression as we continue in this discussion. And we have a Nosei / Mivneh Henning, and which we've written on the side, where you can see in parentheses, Brisa, the Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, the Tanaic source of Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, a repeating volcano shape will appear. Sidro Shel Oinshim, the dashed underline, when you look in the Gemara text, will highlight the punishment. Haboyim al ha'oiver al isur schoira beperishvis, for one who is in violation of the law of Shemitah, which prohibits the sale, commercial sale of Shvius produce. The Shemitah year is such that which grows on trees during the Shemitah is declared unowned. Anyone has free picking. A person that harvests the fruits that are sanctified in the Shemitah year and conducts commercial dealings with those fruits, sells them, buys them, sells them, is in violation of what the Torah says, le'ochla, that the fruit of the Shemitah year, the Torah uses the word le'ochla, it's for your eating, and we infer v'loy l'schera, and not for business. This is it's considered a light aspect of Shemitah because it's first of all it's called a lav habo michlal asay. It's a negative command, but it's based on the positive word le'ochlo. It is for your eating, so it doesn't have the same level of severity as straight out agricultural activities that one does, cultivation. That one does during the Shemitah year. There you're involved with explicit scriptural violation. If you go and you plow your field, or you prune your trees, during the Shemitah year. Now the source continues with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina telling us, Bo re kama kosha afka sosrias. Come and see how severe the Torah views one who violates even the light aspects of Shemitah. And we already pointed out that's Schora. Schora means commercial dealings, sales for profit of Shemitah produce. Adam nose v'noisein b'peros shvius. One transacts Shemitah fruits that have the sanctity of the Shemitah year. Generally speaking, that's a reference to fruits that blossomed during the seventh year. Even though they may be harvested the following year, nevertheless, those fruits have Kedushas Shvi's, the sanctity of the sabbatical year. Well, if one violates the Torah's will and conducts commerce in them, L'soif Moisher Es Metatalov, he's going to end up lacking for money. And that's the general theme of all this entire source is you think you're going to make money at the expense of Shemitah, you're going to end up needing money. You're going to end up needing to, first stage, sell your personal portables, your personal belongings. Shenemar, it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayikra Perichofei Pasuk Yud Gimel, Bishnas Hayovel Hazois, Toshuvu Ish Elachuzaso, Visomichle, and the reference to Yovel is the reference also to the Shemitah year. There is a relationship between Yovel and Shemitah, which we won't get into now. But it says right after that, in Pasuk Yudalid, V'chi simkru memkar la'misecha okonam yad ha'misecha, which means dover ha'nikne miyad liyad. The Pasuk describes transaction of things that are sold from hand to hand, meaning portables. Lo hirgish, if the offender doesn't get the message, doesn't realize, doesn't make he doesn't engage in introspection, in self-evaluation. What's going on? Why am I losing money that I need to sell my portables and come to the conclusion that I've been violating Shemitah? L'soif, Moichere Sadoisov. In order to try to wake up the guy, the Lord is going to bring upon him the need for him to sell his fields. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, and again, it's in the context of what we cited before. It says, Ki yomucho chicho mochar me'achuzoso. The Pasuk describes someone who becomes indigent and he ends up needing to sell his properties. At this point, then, we've described the fellow who he sinned with regard to Shemitah. God, his first punishment was selling metaltolin. He sinned again. He continued a second time. And he got his second punishment, needing to sell his inheritance fields. Lo bosel yodo, if the awareness did not come to him yet, ad shemoicheres beso, he's going to end up selling his house. Shenemar, Kiyomuch Kiyimkor Beis Moishov Yirchoyma. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets momentarily, you'll see that this sequence continues. If after selling his house he still doesn't get the message, Lo Bos Liyodo Ad Shemochir Es Bito, he's going to end up selling his daughter. And the Pasuk cited Shenemar V'Chiyimkor Ish Es Bito Loma. At that point, by the way, you have a pasuk that's from out of context, from a different location altogether in Shmos Perichov Aleph. The Gemara in the following bracketed section will deal with that phenomenon. But if you skip that subsequent brackets, you see four lines from the bottom of the Gemara: Lo bos liado ad sheloive beribis. He's become so impoverished, he's going to have to start borrowing. Borrowing on interest in order for him to meet his debts. We're going to go over all of this again, but first but this time with the bracketed section for that which we skipped. After the first time he sinned, and we have, if you look at our markings, you'll notice that we at the first line, the first full line of this source, we had a number 1. at that point, he had sinned, and then he received a punishment, the need to sell his portables. If at that point he didn't wake up, well, the Brisa says lo hirgish, he didn't feel his sin. Then a second punishment comes. The sof mecher es sodaisof. He has to then sell his inheritance properties. That accounts for two sins, two times sinning, two times the same sin, repeat sinner, but twice. Then we have a phrase. It's a second dashed underline, lo bosli yado. He doesn't wake up and continue sinning. That would be a third time he's sinning. Ad shemurcha es beso. And then the punishment. Now, in the brackets, the Gemara asks, my shna hosam diomar lo hirgish, why, after the, we mentioned the first sin and the punishment, so after the first sin and the punishment, the source says he didn't feel it. He used the source used the expression he didn't feel it, and then continued sinning a second stage. So why there, after the first time of sinning, does the expression lo hirgish appear? Umayshna hocha, after he sinned the second time, in other words, he's already sinned twice. Before the third sin, the third time of sinning, the source uses the expression lo basal yado. The Gemara answers, the difference is kidder Rav Huna, based on Rav Huna's approach to a sinner. Diom Rav Huna, kevon she'ovar odom avera v'shona ba. Once a person sins once and sins a second time, and he didn't do any repentance in the middle, he's a two-time sinner. Here we have an angular brackets. Let's skip it for a moment. The beginning of the next line. Nasis loy keheter. It becomes, the sin becomes unto him as if it's something allowed. He becomes so used to it, he loses the ability to see anything wrong with it. So that there was hope, so to speak, that after the first time he sins and he got a punishment, before he would sin a second time, he would feel it. So he would feel the sin by virtue of the first punishment. If lo hirgish, that was the expression that we saw, if that he didn't feel what he should have been able to feel, he hasn't become a repeat sinner at that point. That was only after the first time he sinned, and he got his punishment. There was a chance he could have felt it. That's hirgish, to feel it. There was a chance. But if not, and he sinned a second time, well, he's not going to feel it so easily anymore. He's got into the routine of sinning. And that's why the source changes the expression, lobos liado. After the second punishment, he didn't wake up, and he's going to do it a third time. He's doing so because he's gotten into the routine. And hence, he's going to sin, and he's not going to become aware until he sells his house. And he's probably not going to become aware at that point either, because of Rav Huna's teaching. The Rashi on this says, lo hirgish. Well, let's read the Rashi together, just a couple lines up from here. Lo hirgish, lo som libo lepronus abolov. He doesn't pay attention to the setback, to the punishment that's befalling him. Lachserbo me'avero shibodo. As the punishment is a means of inspiring him to repent because of the sin that he's committed. Gabi lo hirgish garsinon lesoif moicher, v'gabi lo bas liado b'kulu garsinon b'toisefto ad shemocher. V'hochi mashma. There's what this conveys is lo isavoi biyadoi, the expression that the Gemara uses, lo bas liado, means it won't come to him, hiru tshuva, the thoughts of repenting, ad she ba l'chol elu, until he experiences all these subsequent setbacks that are all highlighted with the volcano shape from the lo hirgish point on. The Rashi continues. Let's continue with the next Rashi. Maishna dekotoni lo hirgish demashma im lo hirgish, which implies that if he didn't feel it, if he didn't feel that the sin after his first punishment, sofo lovo lekach, then he's going to end up coming to the subsequent failings. Ubekulu tana lo bos liado ad shemoche demashma de pshita le latana de darke bekach. By saying lo bos liado, it hasn't come to him, what we saw before, hiruri tshuva, until he ends up selling this and selling that, as the list goes on. And it seems to the Tana that it's almost inevitable. Reading again, the pshitulei latana de darko bekach de loitovo liado shiyoshe b'tshuva ad shiyikabel od pornis. It's obvious to Tana that he's not going to wake up until he gets another punishment, and then he'll sin again in another punishment without waking up. And the answer to that is, because after a person sinned a second time without having woken up after the first punishment, in other words, he sinned once, got his punishment, didn't wake up and sinned again, he's already put himself into motion for repeat sinning. We go back to the Gemara text. We skipped in angular brackets. Rav Huna said, we underline Rav Huna, Yom Rav Huna, Kevon Sheovar Odom Avera Vishona Ba. And here in the angular brackets, after Rav Huna says, once a person sinned, and then a second time sinned, Hutra Lo, then the prohibition is he's relieved from the prohibition. And why says Hutra Lo Saka Daitov? Could that possibly be accurate? I mean, if you sin twice, then it becomes, you're allowed? Elo nasis lo keheter. Not that you're allowed, but in his eyes it becomes like something that is mutter, that's allowed. So we have our subject that of a concern, we have of a sinner that's already sinned twice, and he ended up selling his house. Lo basaliyado, the hirur tshuva still haven't come to him. Ad shemoicher esbito, until he ends up selling his daughter. Shenemar v'chiimkor ish esbito la'ama. Now, when we introduced this earlier, we pointed out that this idea of one selling his daughter into servitude, in order, of course, to get money, is not found in the context of the previous psukim. Here we have sale of daughter is in Shmos Perichov Aleph, and the previous punishments were from Vayikra Perichov Hey. V'yafagav, we're reading within the brackets now, V'yafagav the bita lo ksiva b'hayin, even though the issue of sale of daughter is not written in the Torah in the same inyan, in the same topic or context as the previous descriptions, which were from Vayikra Perichov Hey, ho komash malon. The following is the message that this Tanaic source is conveying. Nizvinin ishbarte velo nizvin b'ribisa. It's more advantageous for a person to sell his daughter than to take out a loan for interest. My time, why is sale of daughter viewed as more beneficial to him than borrowing on interest? Barte migra v'nafka. With regard to daughter, the amount that father would have to pay in order to redeem her, as time goes on, he ends up paying less and less. V'ha, but someone who borrows money on interest, moisva v'yazla interest, as a way of expanding and expanding and expanding. It just increases as time goes on. Lo bos liado ad shelove beribis. He's not going to wake up, even though he's already sold his daughter, and before that he sold his house, and before that he sold his inheritance fields, and before that his portables. Ad shelove beribis, until he gets to the point where he's going to borrow on interest, which borrowing money on interest in Jewish law, that for one Jew to borrow from another Jew is a prohibition. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'chiyomu chochichu moto yodo imach." V'somichle, and next near that, you have the pasuk that says focuses on interest. It says, "Al tikach miidoi v'chulei." That the continuation of the pasuk describes the ribbis. So the pasuk saying, do not take from a fellow Jew who borrowed money from you. Don't take from the borrower interest. The point being, though, you see the person continuing to become more and more impoverished, and he'll end up borrowing on interest. And again, lo basa liyado ad shemoicher es atzmo. He's not going to think tshuva until he ends up selling himself into servitude. Shenemar v'chiyomu chachicha v'nim karloch. And the Gemara points out that the pasuk that says when your fellow man becomes in impoverished, v'nim karloch, will be sold to you. Lo lecha elo leger, not just to another nice family, a Jewish family, but to a ger. Shenemar lager. Now, when you read the word ger, your first impression might be a convert to Judaism. But the Gemara points out, no, when you're going to be sold into servitude, it's not necessarily to a nice Jewish family, whether they're pedigree Jews or converted Jews. Shenemar lager. Let me read again. Let's continue. V'lo lager tzedek. Not just to a righteous convert, Elo Leger Toshav. That's a reference to a non-Jew who lives in the land of Israel, who's accepted to abandon idolatry. Shenemar Ger Toshav. As it says in that context, he sold unto a Ger Toshav. The Pasuk says, Mishpachas Ger, Ze Oyveit Kechavim. That's a reference to being sold to a family of idol worshippers. Shomer Lieker. When the pasuk uses the word li'iker, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Zeha nimka levidis kachovim asa. That's a reference to the person who sells himself as a custodian, as a janitor of a church of idols. Rashi takes pains. He's quite brief, but it's obvious from Rashi that we're not saying that a person sells himself to worship idols, but he sells himself to split wood for the sake of the church, the house of idolatry. What is the point of this long question? It is showing us that though we indicated earlier that the Torah has a sense of benevolence toward the servant when it comes to eating and drinking, but who says that with regard to actual redemption we show any sympathy or concern and leniency? If anything, from this whole source, you see you're dealing who sold into servitude. It's probably a person who is a repeat sinner with the laws of Shemitah. So why should we be so beneficial toward him with regard to his redemption, and allow, as we saw, if he increased in value, we calculate according to his lower purchase price, etc. Omar Le. So the Gemara answers, Hosam Ho Adre Kra. There, in Vayikra Perek Chav He, which is the context from which the drushes of Rabbi Yosef Bar Nira were taken, the pasuk itself expects expression of compassion. The Tani, the Bay, Rabbi Shmuel, Hail v'holach zev v'nase koymer v'rizkachovim. Since this guy has served him, has ultimately sold himself as a priest to idols, we explained before, it doesn't mean that he's actually accepted the belief in the church or in idolatry, but he's sold himself as a servant to the idol. Emo litchi even achar hanofel. Maybe here's this is an expression. It means after someone falls, let's shove a stone on him. Namely, that he should have no redemption. Talmud Lomar, it says in Vayikra Perichov Hey Posuk Memches. After all of the progressive sinning that we had described, it says Acharei Nimkar Geula Tielo Echod Me'echov Yigoleno. After he's been sold, he has redemption. One of his relatives shall come to redeem him. So you see that there's an expression or a feeling of benevolence that we ought to show him. V'eimo maybe Gula Tielo. Torah says, expresses its interest in our redeeming him, so that he doesn't become submerged and absorbed amongst the idol worshippers. Here you have a Jewish person, a Jewish soul, that's steeped in a life surrounded by idolatry. So we want to extricate him from that. Redeem him! However, how much? But as far as the amount that will be required, let's not make it too easy based on Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina's drushes, that after all we are dealing with a repeat sinner. Omar Rav Nachman Trey Kroy, we're reading Rav Nachman without the Bar Yitzchak, based on the note on the side, which is based on the Gemara later on, and how the Marshal read the Gemara. So for our purposes, Rav Nachman tells us, Trey Kroy Ksivi. Once again, we're trying to figure, how do we know that when it comes to the amount to be paid for redemption, that we show leniency? So Rav Nachman says there are two psukim. Ksiv im oid revois bashanim, uksiv v'im ma'at nishar bashanim. So we have the two psukim, and the Rashi on the second line from the top says revois bashanim mashma she ribui bashanim. There's something about a long year. V'chi efshu lios merubos, or I should say, long years of servitude. Can it be more than 6 years or less than 6 years? There's a fixed amount. Person who deserves to be served into servitude, it's for 6 years. And certainly if a person sells himself into servitude, whether that applies here is another issue. But certainly if the court sells him into servitude, it's for 6 years, not less, not more. And here the Gemara is raising two psukim. One pasuk says, "Imod revos bashanim, uksiv imat nishar bashanim." V'chiyesh shanim merubos, v'chiyesh shanim watos. Is there servitude for more than 6 years? Is there servitude for less than 6 years? No. So what do these psukim mean? Elo nisrabe kaspo. If he's increased in value, mikesef miknasa, then the calculation is in accordance with the amount he was originally paid for, the lower amount. Nismayit kaspo, if in the course of time his value has gone down, that's the ve'im'at posuk, nishar b'shanim, then kefi shanav, then it's in accordance with the lower amount for which he's worth now. Ve'ema hachi ko'amar. Maybe the understanding, the reading of the psukim, have nothing to do with any change in value. Simply, he's worked only 2 of the 6 years. He's worked 2. There remains the majority of work time. 4 years remain. So, nasiv le arba mikesef miknaso. Then, you have to, if you want to redeem him, you have to pay for the value of 4 remaining years. Calculating how much did you pay for him originally. If you paid, let us say, $600 for him, that means each year of work was worth $100. So that if he's worked for 2 years and there are 4 years that remain, so the master originally paid $600, he needs to be compensated. So the owner would the slave would be redeemed for $400, the value of the balance of 4 years of work. If he worked 4 years and the remained 2 years, so nasiv tarti kafishanov, then you'll pay then the value of 2 years of work. The emphasis here is that there's no, the psukim of im oid revois bashanim or im ma'at nishar bashanim has nothing to do with any price or value fluctuation. All the Torah is telling you is that you compensate the owner, the master who bought him, in accordance with the number of years that remain for, that would have remained for him to work if he would not be redeemed. The Gemara says, "Im Cain." If that's what these two psukim were teaching us, then nichtoiv kro im oid revois shonim im at nishar shonim. My bashonim. The base implies something else.
If it just was a matter of calculating in accordance with the number of years that remain, so it would have said im oid revois shonim if there's a lot of years left. And likewise, if there are few years left, what is the base adding to when the Torah says bashanim? And the answer is nisrabe kaspo bashanim. If over the course of the years that he's worked, and it was within the years, the base within the working time frame, he has increased in value. Then mikesem iknaso. Then the redemption is based on how much he was originally paid for, and then of course you calculate what's the value. You have to prorate the balance based on the original purchase price, which was the lesser amount than he's worth right now. And nismai tasbo shonim. If he's gone down in value, then the calculation for his redemption will be based on kafin shanav, how much he is worth now. Omar Rav Yosef, darshinu Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef points out he was impressed with Rav Nachman's presentation of this topic. These two psukim, oid revois bashanim and not nishar bashanim, and how he explained the psukim, focusing on the base of the word bashanim, how that made all the difference in the explanation. So Rav Yosef says, Rav Nachman explained these psukim lahani kroy kesinai, as if he received it directly from the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that what follows is a new trend of thought. If your eye is skimming ahead, as we always recommend, you'll notice that the Gemara here is, I view this as densely marked. There's a lot of activity coming up, and we have a fairly extensive amount of introductory information before getting into the Gemara. So let us look at in the margin, the left-hand side, we have a heading called Divrei Hakdoma, words of introduction. So what we've written in the margin, and you might find that as we read the information we've included here, and we continue with our no say, our topic heading and structural notes, it might sound somewhat repetitive, but because of the expansive nature of the upcoming Gemara, as much introduction as can be given will only be beneficial. So we've written under Divrei Hakdoma, Roman numeral number 1, we indicate Ad Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. Indicate, note where we are now, we're on Chof Amid Beis. So this takes us, this will preoccupy us for a while, until Chof Aleph Amid Beis Yofiu, there will appear Kama Noisim, a number of different topics, Shamashutif Lehem Hu Inyan Gula, the common denominator is the issue of Geula. Geula would mean redemption, redeeming, and what we mean by that will become self-evident as we go through the Gemara. Beinehem, amongst the different topics, Eved Ivri Hanimkar La'akum, L'Yisrael, a Jewish fellow sold to a Gentile, and the issue of Geula comes up, redeeming him from his servitude to the Gentile, or L'Yisrael, so he was sold to a Jew, and we want to know about redeeming him from servitude to the Jew. Bote Orei Choma, redemption of houses that were in walled cities. The Torah, and we had recommended at the beginning of our shiur to familiarize yourself with these topics so we don't have to spend too much time with the details, But nevertheless, when it comes to houses in walled cities, the Torah mentions that if you sell a house that you own in a walled city, you have up till 1 year to force its resale, its buyback, or your option to redeem it. But once a year goes by, you cannot force the purchaser to sell it back to you. You cannot redeem it. Botei chatzerim, that's the next point. Those are houses in unwalled cities. Sadeh mikne, a field that you did not inherit. It's a field that you purchased. Let us say you then sold a field that you purchased and you want to redeem it. You want to buy it back. It should be noted, by the way, when we see stay achuza, likewise with botei chatzerim, that when the yovel year comes, those are returned to their original owners, those who had inherited it from their forebears. Stay achuza, that is the inheritance field. One who sold a stay achuza, you have mechirasa, its sale, hekdesha, or one who sanctified a stay achuza. If one sells a stay achuza, so if he doesn't redeem it before the yovel year, it reverts back to the original owner. If he sanctified a stay achuza and he doesn't buy it back, he doesn't redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, the field will be distributed amongst the Kohanim that are serving at the time that the yovel enters. He won't see his field again. The second, Roman numeral number 2, second general rule of word of introduction, Sidras She'loisav Sh'Rav Huna Bar Chinan Omer Rav Sheshes. We're going to see a series of questions that Rav Huna Bar Chinan presents to Rav Sheshes. And if you skim ahead in the Gemara text, you'll notice that a triangle and a double underline appear repeatedly. The double underline referring to now is with the standard without the dots in it. So if you allow your eye to skim ahead without mentioning topics, just skim ahead, and we have a numbering system that accompanies this. You'll notice triangles right to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, triangles number 1 and 2 skimming down. And on those respective lines, you see Ba in a triangle, and Rav Huna Bar Chinan Omer Sheshes is double underlined. This marking continues onto Daf Chof Aleph Omen Aleph, almost halfway down. You'll notice number 3, and toward the lower part of the page in the wide lines, we have a number 4. The number 4 we put in parentheses because you don't see the name Rav Huna Bar Chinana asking of Rav Sheshes repeated, so we're treating it as a little different, but it's never as part of the same general series of questions that have to do with matters of redemption. As far as our shiur today is concerned, we probably will not be touching on questions 3 and 4, being that we've at that point gone over the Daf Yomi quota anyway. The introductory section in our margin indicates we have a Betsuras Tavlo, we have a table, and you have, going across the top, you have the Nosei, the topic, and if you look under that word, you have the topic of Nimkar Lagoi, Jewish fellow sold to an idol worshiper, and in the middle column, Gula, how is redemption dealt with? So the topic there, the first topic under, or actually the first question deals with someone sold to a goy, can he be redeemed? Chatzoyin, can half his, if he was going to work a certain amount of time, can you pay half of his work value? And he'll then end up working half the amount of time. That's called that's pidyon or gula lechatzoyin. There's another situation where chatzoyin comes up, and that you can see there's another column that we've entitled nosei. That's a case of someone who sold his house in a walled city. can the owner pay half and have half redeemed? And my understanding is he then regain half ownership of the house that he sold. Is that an option? There's a starred note that appears under the chart. L'maskonas ha-gemora dine ge'ula shabote orichayma shnei b'machloikis bein rabbonon l'verabi shimon. That's a topic that is going to end up remaining a machlokis tanoim. And then there's another question. Question number three. That's why you see the three with the triangle around it. There the issue comes up. Ge'ula, redemption through relatives. And the issue of bote ore choma. Can relatives, instead of the owner himself, but can relatives redeem a house that was sold in a walled city? Not the owner himself coming to redeem it, but his relatives. Is that an option? Then you notice Roman numeral number 3. Darke geula shoinim kuilim. The different methods of redemption include al yedei krovim, relatives intervening and doing the redemption. Loi vevegoil, person doesn't have money, can he borrow money and use borrowed money to redeem the item that was sold? And the issue of goyel lechatzoyin, partial redemption. Is redemption a halacha that? Or a provision, it's all or nothing, or maybe lechatzoyin, part redemption. That's all the money you have. You pay half the amount, and then you have either bought back half of the item, or in the case of redemption of slaves, he'll only have to work half the balance of time. The nosei that we've written on the in the right-hand margin, where, generally speaking, the topic headings appear, you'll notice the Hakdoma Klolis, L'She'elos 1 through 3, a general introduction to questions 1, 2, and 3. B'ma'acha Gemara yebirur im nitan l'umol darki gu'ulo. The Gemara will analyze, will try to clarify, can we derive the methods of redemption, mimoicher ste achuza, from the case that the Torah features of one who sold a ste achuza, an inheritance property. That's a term in contrast to ste mikna, a property that you purchase, not one that you inherited. Can we derive darke geula mimoicher ste achuza lenoisim shel eved ivri hanimka legoi? So can we use the laws of redemption that the Torah tells us regarding someone who sold an inheritance field and apply those laws to the redemption of a Jew sold to a goy, Jew sold to an idol worshipper, or to the redemption of someone redemption of a house that someone sold in a walled city? We have a little diagram, Tarshim, a diagram, L'Shelos 1, 2, and 3. We'll read our diagram, but for many diagrams are helpful post facto. Once you've learned the Gemara and then you look at the diagram, it will make much more sense. Even so, many do benefit from looking at diagrams even before delving into the topic. So in looking at the chart, we see Hamoicher Ste Achuza. These are givens. One who sold an inheritance property, Eino Nigal Lechatzoyin. In order for the owner to buy it back from the purchaser, he'd have to come up with the full amount. The idea of partial redemption doesn't exist. These points are based on psukim in the Torah. As you go through the sukya and you look at Rashi, you will see how these points have their scriptural basis. So that's point one. Stei achuza is not nigal lechatzoy. Number two, nigal al yedei kroivim. It is redeemed through the intervention of relatives. They can also be the source of redemption. Ha'im nitan lumod mistei achuza. Can we learn, derive from stei achuza? Now notice you have triangle number one. This represents the Gemara's first question. Can we derive from stei achuza the gulas eved ivri hanimka legoi regarding a Jew who is sold to a Gentile, ha'im nigal lechatzoyin? Can he be redeemed by paying half? Is it all or nothing? Do they have to come up with the full amount of the balance of work still owed to the goy, or can he be redeemed even in part, so that he'll work half the balance of the time? Now, we noted in parentheses that al yedei kroivim mefurish b'posik shekein, through the idea of redeeming a Jewish slave sold to a goy via his relatives, who they would redeem him, that's explicit. We don't have to ask about that. The posik says explicitly that he can, that kroivim is a method of redemption through his relatives, through the servant's relatives. We continue on the chart. There's another, notice a little, as you move to the left a little bit, there's another arrow. And again, the question is, can we learn from stei achuza ligulas bayis shenimkar bebotei orei choma, the redemption of a house that once sold in a walled city? What is question number two? The question will be hayim nigal lechatzoyin. Can part redemption be paid? Question number three, which will be dealt with on Chof Aleph Omed Aleph, hayim nigal al yedei kroivim. It's most likely that as far as today's shir is concerned, that will be left. That won't be. We will not deal with that. But nevertheless, you see the scheme of things, the three questions that Rav Huna Bar Chinuna presents to Rav Sheshes, all surround the issue of can I not derive methods of redemption from the way we deal with a stei achuza. As far as the givens are concerned, the stei achuza is not nigal lechatzoyin. That's a type of, we'll say, stringency. There's an element of leniency, and that was that it can be redeemed through relatives. Presenting the Gemara in that way, by the way, the leniency and stringency approach, will be a central theme in the Gemara text itself. Under the Mivneh, the structural note, and here we're obviously repetitive, but it's not going to hurt. You see the triangles? Those are Sidra Shel She'elos, 1 through 3, Hein Shel Rav Huna Bar Chinuna, asking of Rav Sheshes. The topics, those are featured with a dotted underline. So if you go into the Gemara text, try to see where we've used a straightforward dot underline. After triangle number one, it's on the third wide line of the Gemara. Do you see? It says Eved Ivri Hanimkar Loivei Kechavim, the issue of the Jew sold to the idol worshipper. We had that featured in our chart above, where triangle number one appeared in the margin. The can we derive from stei achuza redemption of an eved ivri sold to a goy? So that's what's dot underlined. If you drop down to where you see triangle number two, there the topic is hamoicher bayis b'botei rechoma. Can that be derived from laws that apply to the redemption of a stei achuza? If you turn, if you scroll ahead, or you turn to Chof Aleph Omed Aleph, topic number three, Hamocher Bayis, Bebotei Rechoma, he will be asking about, what about laws of redemption regarding sale of houses in walled cities? The double underline with the dots that appear in them are Tsuras HaPidyon, the method of redemption. We had indicated above that there were several, say, methods of redemption that will be featured. And the issue of chatzoyin, Do you see the first double underline? The question is focusing nigal lechatzoyin o eino nigal lechatzoyin. The second double underline also is nigal lechatzoyin o eino nigal lechatzoyin. Is it redeemed in part? Is that possible? Is it an option or not? When you get to chaf aleph from an aleph, the issue of by triangle number 3, you have the double underline highlights nigal lekrovim o eino nigal krovim. Can relatives intervene in their redemption? Questions 2 and 3 focus on bias bebote ore choma. That you can see, as we already pointed out, by looking at the dot on the line. We've given you a very, very extensive introduction to the Gemara. Let us now turn to the text. On the first wide line of the Gemara, you can see the printer has a parentheses term, simen, eved, bias chatzoyim, bias and eved krovim. These are references to the questions, and we've used triangles. Triangle 1 and 2, 1 deals with an eved, triangle 2 deals with a house, and the issue is chatzoyim, nigal chatzoyim. Triangle 3 deals with a house, and triangle 4 deals with a servant. And the issue there is, the issue in those two cases has to do with redemption through relatives. So the four questions that we've highlighted are split between topics of redemption through b'chatzoyin, and the second two, redemption through relatives. Can relatives pay the redemption money? Now the Gemara, second wide line in the middle, Bomine Rav Huna Bar Chinen Omer Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna asks, Eved Ivri Hanimkar Le'oivei Kechovim, Jewish individual sold into servitude to an idol worshipper. Niga Lechatzoyin O Eino Niga Lechatzoyin. Can he be redeemed in part, in half, or not? When we say not, it would mean that, yes, redemption is an option, but you'd have to come up with all of the money needed to release him from the idol worshipper owner. When we say all the money, the entire value of the balance of years that he would have otherwise had to work. Ge'ulasoi, ge'ulasoi, miste achuza, gomar. Do we say that there is a gezerah shava, or a word comparison between this topic of sold to, Jew sold to idol worshiper, and topic of mechira steachuz, the sale of an inheritance field? Before we go on with the Gemara text, there's a starred note, a double starred note. Do you see it in the margin? We have a double starred note. It's on the left hand margin. Gulasu gulasu le'orach haGemara yazkiru gezerah shava zu. As the Gemara goes on, this gezerah shava will be mentioned. Hamevusas al gulasai gulasai. The gezerah shava of gulasu gulasu. That's written in the Kosuv Eitzel Eved Ivri Hanimkar Le'akum in Vayikra Perichof Hei Posuk Nun Aleph, regarding a Jewish servant sold to an idol worshipper. The Posuk says Im Oid Revois Bashanim Lefihem Yoshiv Gu'ulasoi Mikesef Miknoso. And in the topic of Mechiras Steachus, sale of inheritance field, Vayikra Perichof Hei Posuk Chofov, it says V'ish ki lo ye lo goyel v'sigo yado motza kedei gu'lasai. There is a third topic, mechiras bias mebotei rechoma, which is the second topic that we're going to try to derive from steachuza. There too, you find gulaso in vayikra perichof hei pasuchof tes. It says v'ish kimkor bias moishav ir choima voisa gulaso at toim shnas mimkoro yomim tia gulaso. Now we can turn back to the Gemara. Rav Huna is asking, Jew sold to idol worshipper, can he be redeemed in halves? Can half his redemption be paid and be acceptable as a partial redemption? And on the fourth wide line of the Gemara, we read this already, Gulosu Gulosu Misteh Achuza Gomar, do we say that there is a tradition that accepts this word comparison? Just like the inheritance field is not redeemed in parts, you can't buy back part of the inheritance field that you sold. And Rashi cites the pasuk on the third narrow line, it says, Umotza Kedei Guloso. You have the amount for its redemption, V'lo L'chatzoyin, not partial. So v'hocha k'siv yoshiv gula, so v'lo k'siv k'day. In the case of a Jew sold to a guy, the pasuk says yoshiv gula, but doesn't say k'day gula, so I don't know. So do I use the gezeira shava and say, look, in the case of steachuza, partial redemption is not an option, therefore sold to guy is also, partial redemption is not an option, o dilma, or maybe l'kula amrinon, l'chumra lo amrinon. We treat the Jew sold to to the Gentile with leniency, and if all the money that's available is to redeem him l'chatzoyin, partial redemption for part of the years, so be it, and not be strict on him, saying all or nothing. Omar Lay, Rav Sheshes responds. Lav Amris Hosom Nimkar, was it not said there? There is a reference to Taf Yud Ches Omer Aleph. It was a topic that we saw a few pages ago. A person who stole something worth $500. And 6 years of service, of his service, would be worth $1,000. So the Gemara there said he is not sold to pay for his thievery, because the pasuk that says v'nimkar means all of him, and if all of him is going to be beyond the value of his theft, so he's not sold. It's not as if he's sold for half the amount of time. So just like over there, the word nimkar implies all or nothing, means all, not half. Hochonami, so to hear in our discussion of nimkar legoi, sold to a Gentile, Nigal, the word Nigal appears. He is redeemed. Perik Chofhei Posuk Memtas. And that word Nigal means Kulo, all of him, Velo Chetzio. So here too, the implication of the word, just like in Daf Yud Ches, the word implies everything, this word Nigal implies total redemption. Total to the exclusion of partial. You'll notice we have a long bracketed section. We always recommend use your bracket length indicator to see how long this is. On the side, we have there's a starred note. There's a triple star. You see that in the margin on the right-hand side. Hezbra Sograim, Sograim Ebu Einom L'Shem Dilug. These brackets are not for the often used or oft use of the brackets for skipping. Here, not so. Elo laharois, just simply to show sheistayim hasheila v'atshuva sheRav Huna bar Chinah v'Rav Sheshes. Up till this point in the Gemara, the question that was raised and the answer that was given is finished. We have the question and the answer. That's what the brackets show, that we finished with the question and the answer. There is another role of the brackets, and that's number two. L'tachim is divrei Abaye, and also to show the bounds, the boundaries of that which Abaye teaches. So there'll be we'll call it a self-contained discussion within the brackets. Following the brackets, as you can easily see, we embark on question number two. But in the meantime, the brackets. Omar Abaye, in Tim Salomar, Nigal L'chatzoyin. If you were to say that which Rav Sheshes says is not the case, But if you were to say that partial redemption is an option, then mishkachas lo lekula ulechumra, there will be revealed a situation of kula, leniency, and a situation of stringency. So once again, if part redemption is a reality, in other words, when you pay part, it's considered that you have successfully redeemed half or whatever part, and that it takes hold, the money that was paid is considered paid, and that's it. It's an effective payment. Approaching it like that will turn out to at some times be a source of leniency from the Redeemer's standpoint, and sometimes a point of stringency from the Redeemer's standpoint. Of course, that's all abstract. We have to give you examples. The diamonds that you see highlight the Lekula and later Lechumra. We have on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, Tochasogramleh, within the brackets, Lekula Lechumra are words that are highlighted by the diamonds. Divrei Abaye, Im Timtzalomar Deniga Lechatzoyen, Yesh Mikrim Shei Lekula, V'yesh Mikrim Shei Lechumra. Now, there are cases that will be lenient, for beneficial for the Redeemer, and some cases not. The Gemara, with its examples. Lekula. Zavne b'mea. You paid, $100 was paid for the servant. The servant came up with Yohev le chamshin, $50 were paid, which is palga dedomi. That's half of his value. So that 6 years of work was worth $100. 50 was paid. That means he'll work only for 3 years. The ashbach, and value of servants went up. The kom al moson, and 6 years of work at this point would be worth 200. When I say at this point, it means at the point that they increased in value. If you say that a servant can be redeemed, the Jewish servant sold into servitude can be redeemed in halves. If you say that, that means the money that you paid took effect. So you already redeemed half of him. Half of him is left. Well, the full amount at this point in time is 200, but half is only is 100. So Yohiv Leh may have enough. Pay 100 more, and he'll be totally free. Ve'i amris ein nigal lechatzoyin. If you say partial redemption is nothing, now you physically paid 50 already, but the 50 doesn't account for anything. Nothing takes hold. So it's simply money that was put into an account, but it didn't have any effect. And you want to redeem him completely. Yohiv lei chamshin, meyav chamshin v'nofik. You'll have to add 150 to have him redeemed. The 50 was put into the account, but it didn't have any effect. And therefore, his entire value of redemption needs to be paid. And since you put 50 down on account, you'll have to pay another 150 for his redemption. The Gemara asks, but this doesn't conform to the rules that we said, that we saw earlier. The upper part of this omid, the ha amris nisraba kaspoi, did we not say that if he went up in value, then mikesef miknaso, that the redemption is based on the original purchase price? Why are you regarding the 200 sum in this example altogether? The Gemara answers, because what this case is talking about is as follows. Kagoin de oikir v'zolv oikir. He was sold initially for 200. In the interim, he went down to being worth 100. At which point, you put down onto the account, you put down 50. Or the oikir, but then he went up again to 200. So that you don't have the benefit of the drosha we had earlier, because here, both at the time of initial sale and at the time of, we'll call the second stage of redemption, he's the same amount, the same high amount. Mishkachas lo lechumra. This idea of Abaye, that if you say Nigal lechatzoyin is of consequence, takes hold, you can see that there is a chumra. And where is that? Zavne b'moson. He was initially purchased by the goy for 200. The family paid Yoiv Mea. They paid 100, or he paid 100. Partial redemption. That's palgi d'domi. That's half the amount that he was originally that was originally paid for him. So the master received 100, half his value. V'chsif, and then the servants depreciated v'kama mea, and it's worth only 100. I amres nigal lechatzoyin. If you say that partial redemption is a fata compli, it takes hold and it is accomplished. What happened? 100 was paid already. Yohiv le chamshin v'nofik. You'll have to pay an additional 50 for him to be redeemed. Because when you paid the first 100, you were paying half of the 200 value. Finished. That money is a finished deal. But at that point, you redeemed only half of him. True, he went down in value. And now that he's gone down in value, you still have to reckon with the fact that half of him hasn't been redeemed. So if you say that the first half is a fata compli, you still need to redeem a second half of him. So you have to pay another 50. True, he went down in value, but you have to pay another 50. That is a chumra, because if you say, oh, nothing happened when you paid that original 100, so the money is put into an account. He's now gone down to 100 in value. Hanoch mea, the original 100 that you paid, pikadun inu gabe, it was only on account. It didn't clinch anything. It was on hold. Yohiv le nihale v'nofik. That original account money will be now transferred in entirely to the owner, and that's his redemption, because at this point he's worth only 100. So keep the money in the account, and the Jew goes free. If, just to repeat ourselves, if we would say that nigal lechatzoyin, the original 100 that was paid, that already is, we say, a fata compli, that freed half of him. There, it remains one half that's unredeemed. So if, when he goes down in value to a total of 100, you'll have to pay another 50. Bo minei Rav Huna bar Chinuno Rav Sheshes. Hamocher bayis v'botei rechoyma. House in walled city that was sold. An owner wants to buy it back. And we mentioned earlier that he's got to act within the first year of his sale. Otherwise, he's not going to see that house again. You know, so he can't force the owner to sell it back after 1 year. So within that first year, we're asking, Nigal lechatzoyin o eino nigal lechatzoyin. Rashi, across from here, we have a little star in order to read it, to spot it quickly. Im nosan chatzi domov besoich shona. If the owner paid half of the house's value within a year, mafrik pagelo, does that result in his redeeming half of it, or is his regaining of ownership of half of it, or not? We continue. Gulasso, gulasso. The same word comparison that we mentioned earlier. Misteachuza, gomar. Do we say that we accept this comparison to steachuza? Just like the steachuza, the inheritance field cannot be redeemed in part. So too, house sold in walled city cannot be redeemed in part. Where the Torah explicitly said no half redemption, Because there in Steachusa it said explicitly Kedegu Lasai. So there it's revealed. Hechad lo goli, lo goli. In Pais Bote Urechuma, the Torah does not say Kedei Gulaso. Doesn't say Kedei. Kedei meaning enough for its total redemption. Doesn't say that word by Bote Urechuma. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes answers, Mi Midroshel Shrebi Shimon Nishma. Shelove Vegoel, Vegoel Chatzoin. From Rabbi Shimon's drosha, we will conclude that the two leniencies, that one can borrow the money for the redemption, which is not so in the case of Steachusa, and it can be redeemed in halves. You notice we have a firebox around Rav Sheshes. That indicates that this position or this shita is going to preoccupy us for a long amount of time. And essentially, that which Rav Sheshes is teaching and saying that we're going to, I'm going to base an answer on Rav Shimon's teaching and come to this conclusion, this will be dealt with quite extensively until we get to basically question number three. It's also noteworthy that we're mentioning Reb Shimon in the scheme of things. We're going to notice that the Rabbonon disagree with Reb Shimon. The reference made here to Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who is known to be Derish Taimed Dekra. He gives reasons, applies logic to laws taught in the Torah. The Rabbonon don't take that approach necessarily, and hence come to different conclusions regarding different matters, and here we'll focus ourselves on the issue of the redemption of the house in the walled city. So Rav Sheshes says that from the drosha, the teaching of Rav Shimon, we will conclude two points of leniency that you don't find by the Steachusa. And the two points were that in the case of the Bote Urechuma, the owner can borrow money for its redemption, and the owner can redeem it in halves. Tesanya. And we have a Tanaic source. Before we read further, and you can see in presenting the sugya today, we're spending a lot of time with introductory information because for many listeners, the points here are new topics, and each topic having a fair amount of detail. On the side of the Gemara, we have a subtopic heading: Shitas Reb Shimon, the Dorish Taima Dekra, Beinyan Gula, Reb Shimon's approach to matters of redemption. Hecha Dehoira Kecham Shel Habaylim. Lekabel haneches shelem b'chazora, hatoro miyapa is koicham begula. Where we find that the Torah weakens the power of the owner to get their property back, an example of that would be the house in the walled city. The owner has only 1 year within to force a resale. After that, he cannot force a resale. There's an element of weakness the Torah imposes on the owner. So Rav Shimon's approach is, okay, I see that he's losing out in that respect, but Rav Shimon applies what's called the compensation theory, that if he's losing out in power of redemption, as far as, we'll say, the time factor, we're going to increase his power regarding the method of redemption. And that's what our note continues to say. We say we read that where there's an element of weakness imposed on the owner, the Torah will compensate. HaTorah miyapa is koichem begula. Number one, lil vois v'goyel, to borrow in order to redeem, which you don't find by this Steachusa, and v'ligoyel lechatzlena, to redeem even partial. Now, Reb Shimon's logic continues. If you find that the Torah empowers the owner to get his property back, for example, a person sold a stay achuzah, he's not limited to 1 year. He has many years in which he can force its resale, buying it back from the purchaser. So where the Torah empowered the owner to get his field back, then we say, okay, you have a lot of time, but we're not going to make it so easy for you to redeem. Then you cannot borrow money in order to redeem. It's only money that you have in your possession. You can't go borrow money for it. And likewise, you can't redeem it in halves. So I hope we're making it clear, Reb Shimon's approach, which is part of this concept of time of the crawl, looking at the, let's say, imposing a svora to the Torah's teachings, as we called it, the compensation approach. If you find restriction here, we'll find leniency there. And if you find leniency here, then we'll find restriction there. Now, let's turn back to the Gemara. We have the firebox around the Amalei. That's Rav Sheshes answered that based on Rav Shimon, we will allow, in the case of the Botei Rechema, the borrowing for redemption and also the option of redeeming in half. Desanyo. Im go'o yigal. This posuk is by one who sanctified, not sold, sanctified an inheritance field. Melamed shaloyve v'goyol v'goyol chatsoyin. The expression go'ol yigal tells me that he can, the original owner, can borrow in order to buy back from Hegdish his sanctified inheritance field, and he can also redeem it in part. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Matam, why this accommodation that we afford the owner? Reb Shimon is Dorish time of the cross. So Matam, what's the reason that we allow him this luxury of borrowing in order to redeem, and likewise redeeming in part? Lefi Shimotzinu b'moicher steachuza. This is a different topic. We found in the case of one who sells an inheritance field, she yafa kaychay, he has an advantage. He has a strength. Shemigia yovel v'lo nigalah chizeres labala biyovel. When the yovel year comes, the field goes back to him automatically. And what else do we notice by the mocher steachuza? We find a weakening of the owner, hora kocho, she'eno loyva v'geil v'geil chatzoyin. And by the way, these descriptions of the mocher steachuza are all in the Torah. These are givens. So it's a given with regard to mocher steachuza, a plus and a minus, a positive and a negative, as far as from the owner's perspective. He has the positive that when Yovel comes, when he's regarding the mocher steachuza, he gets it back. As I'm sure everyone knows, the Jubilee year represents a year in which all fields are returned to original owners. There is also the weakness, and again, found in the Torah, that he, one who sold the Steachuzah, cannot borrow for its redemption, nor can he redeem it in part. Makdish, in contrast, the one who sanctified his inheritance field, Shehoira Koicho, there is a weakness vis-a-vis the owner. Shemigia Yovel v'lo nigalo, when Yovel arrives and he hasn't yet redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to lose it altogether. Yotze l'kehanim b'yovel. It's distributed amongst the kehanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash when that Yovel year sets in. So you see, by Makdish, an element of weakness, but we compensate. Yofa kechai sheloyve v'geil v'geil l'chatsoyin. These are the Makdish steachuza can borrow for its redemption. He can redeem it in part. So you see there's precedent for this, we'll call this plus-minus approach to things with regard to redemption. Using this approach, this is Reb Shimon's approach, and now superimposing it on our topic, the topic of our question. Hein moicher bayis bebote orichomanami. One who sold a house in a walled city, likewise. Hoyol vehoyra koichoi. There's a weakness that the owner has. Shimola lo ishona tamima velo nigala nechlat. If a full year goes by in which he didn't buy it back from the purchaser, it nechlat, it remains permanently by the purchaser. He can, the owner cannot force its buyback. So there you have hora kocho. If you see hora kocho, we're looking then for a yafa kocho. So yafa kocho sheloiv v'gev agam lechatzayin. He can, within the year, he has a right to borrow money for its redemption, and likewise redeem it even in part. Eisvei, the Gemara raises an objection. And notice we have a brackets. These brackets, if you look carefully at Rashi, you'll notice in Rashi 4 lines from Eisvei, Rashi says, the Kotoni Seifa, the end of this Tanaic source, says, so it's really from the end of this source that a question will surface. And taking our cue from Rashi, we'll do just that. We'll skip the brackets for a moment. And it says in the Tanaic source, Mocher bayis bebotei orichom yochiach. Let the case of the sale of a house in walled cities prove whatever. We don't know because we didn't go through the bracketed section yet. But let it prove the point, namely, that sheyofa koichoi ligal miyad, it has the advantage in being able to be redeemed immediately. On the day that you sold it, you can force its buyback, which is, by the way, a point that you'll see in contrast to one who sells a field. There you can't force a buyback within a day. So the case of Bote Rechoma has an element of Yofa Koichoi, and the Ein Leive V'Goyel V'Goyel L'Chatzoyen. And we dashed underline it because this is really the main point. It cannot. There's no borrowing for its redemption, nor is there any partial redemption. That is the reason this source is brought. As far as when the source internally is concerned, there's another use of this. But for our immediate purposes, we see in the Tanaic source that a house in a walled city that's sold, the option of borrowing and partial redemption is non-existent. The Gemara answers lo kashya, and it goes to the top of Chof Aleph, Omer Aleph. The Gemara says, no problem, Ha Rabbanon Ha Reb Shimon. One approach is the approach of the Rabbanon, who are not Dorish Taima Dekra. And the approach that Rav Sheshes was using, where he concluded that with regard to Bayis Botei Rechoyma, Loiva V'Goyol V'Goyol L'Chatzoyin, that's Rav Shimon's approach. The Gemara, from that point on, will be focusing intensively on the Tanaic source that we, in the meantime, have put in brackets. But as far as, we'll say, preserving Rav Sheshes' answer, the Gemara, at the top of Omid Beis, successfully defends Rav Sheshes' position. So that when we approach this Tanaic source, we know already that we're going to discover, we know already, that this source is not in accordance with Rebbe Shimon. So, the source itself, though, as we said, it deals with a variety of topics, and the issue will be application of logic. And we now continue with the source within the brackets. We open with a pasuk from Makdish Sdei Achuza. We cited this pasuk earlier. Im go'ol yigal. Melamed, this teaches us concerning one who sanctified an inheritance field. Sheloi v'vegoyol v'goyol v'chatzoyen. He can borrow and he can also redeem in part. She yochol, without the pasuk. The halo din hu. Logic would have said, Uma moicher stei achuza. one who sells an inheritance field. Sheyofe koichai. He has a strength. Sheim higia yoivavu nigala choyzeres lebalei obiovel. If the one who sold the inheritance field hasn't redeemed it, but Yovel comes, he gets it back. He gets it back automatically. That's an advantage. He has, the owner has a strength, and yet, even though the owner has a strength, hoyru kechay she'ein loyve v'geil v'geil lechatzayin. Nevertheless, he cannot borrow for its redemption, nor can he redeem it in parts. Makdish, one who sanctified in the Herod's field, where he starts off at a weak point of weakness. If he hasn't redeemed it before the Jubilee year, it won't come back to him. It will be distributed amongst the Kayhanim in Yovel. All the more so, he has a weakness. And therefore, we need the pasuk to tell me otherwise. This is standard fare throughout the Shas. Psukim are oftentimes needed to countermand that which logic would have resulted in. So at this point, we need the pasuk. Our emphasis, the purpose of our emphasis here is in anticipation of the Gemara on Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, where the issue comes up time and time again. Do I really need this pasuk or not? Well, at this point, yeah, I really need the pasuk. That without it, I would not have known that the makdish, steachusa, can be loiv of a goyel and goyel lechatzoyin. Here, the Gemara refutes that. Pircha. Do I really need the pasuk? Ma le moicher steachusa. To come to a conclusion from Moicher Steachuzo that you can't do. Shekein Hoira Koichoi Ligal Miad. Moicher Steachuzo has a certain weakness to it that doesn't apply to a Makdish Steachuzo. What's the weakness by Moicher, seller of Steachuzo? Shekein Hoira Koichoi Ligal Miad means he can't force its resale. The owner cannot buy it back miyad immediately. He has to wait a minimum of, or I should say that for a minimum of 2 years before he can force its buyback. It must stay 2 years in the purchaser's possession. That's based on a pasuk that you can see cited in Rashi, Mispar Shnei Tfus Yimochaloch, three lines from the bottom of the Rashi. Mechira of a steachuzah is not less than 2 years. So, Toimar b'makdish, we're going back to our Gemara text, Toimar b'makdish sheyofe koichu ligal miyad. In the case of one who sanctified an inheritance field, he can buy it back immediately from the Beis HaMikdash. And since he has that strength, it stands to reason on our own without a pasuk. He can be loyve v'geil v'geil l'chatzoyen. So we're emphasizing this concept of immediate buyback as reason for loyve v'geil v'geil l'chatzoyen. Aha! And now you think that's the reason you don't need the pasuk? I'm going to cite this other topic of sale of houses in walled cities to prove to the contrary. There the owner has that power of immediate buyback. And yet, he cannot borrow. In the case of the Moicher Bayis Bote Yochoma, he cannot borrow nor redeem in parts. So, as far as this Tanaic source is concerned, you need the pasuk by Makdish Steachuzah to tell me loy v'vegav l'chatzoyin. Because without the pasuk, just by citing the idea of strength of goyel miyad, that doesn't lead me to conclude loy v'vegav l'chatzoyin, as you have the precedent by the Bote Rechoma. Therefore, I need the pasuk. Once again, I need the pasuk for makdish steachuza loiva v'gavoyol chatzoyin. This give and take, as far as logic is concerned, will continue on the fourth line from the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's skip to that momentarily. Omar le Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Ravashi. Ika le Mifrach. I can undo the logic that was just cited in the source. And if I undo the logic cited in the source, the result be I don't really need the pasuk. And what does he say? He says, "Ma lemoicher bayis bebote ore choyma." It has another weakness to it, and therefore I understand by bote ore choyma he doesn't have the option of loiva v'geil v'geil chatzon shikain hoira koicho ligali oylam. It's redemption possibilities are not le'olam. He doesn't have an open-ended amount of time. He's got to act within 1 year. So you see, he's weak in that respect. He's got to act within 1 year. Therefore, I understand by Boter Rechoimo, he's not loiva v'goyel v'goyel l'chatzoyen. The Makdish has a long time in which to redeem from the Gizbor, from the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, since by Makdish he has that strength of Liga Li'olam, then even without the Pasuk I would have concluded that Loiva V'Goyel V'Goyel L'Chatzoyin. The inverted volcano shape will be a response to that, and we'll Amir Tzashem go over this when we pick up after the section we just skipped. So even though we've demonstrated how the logic that this Braisa presents has its continuation on Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, we nevertheless go back to the bottom of Chof Amud Beis, Lo Kashya. The Braisa that we read is not a problem for Rav Sheshes. As we explained earlier, we continue at the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, Ha Rabbonon Ha Reb Shimon. Rav Sheshes represented the opinion of Reb Shimon, who spoke very much about this compensation approach, push-pull, positive-negative, plus-minus. For each case where you see a plus, there has to be a minus. Or if you see a minus, there has to be a plus. The Rabbanan did not follow that approach. We continue in this bracketed section. Our note says, there's a double-starred note that says, Achrei Sagraim HaGemara Chozeres Levara Divrei HaBraisa B'Sof Amud Aleph. As we demonstrated earlier, the Gemara will resume on the fourth line from the top the logic that was introduced in the Braisa dealing with the topic of Makdish Bayez Bebote Rechoyma. Correction, Makdish Stei Achuza. Let's now go over the bracketed section. Tani Chada. One source says regarding sale of house in walled cities. Loiva v'geil v'geil l'chatzoyin. V'tanya yidach, another source says, ain loiva v'geil v'geil l'chatzoyin. They would seem to be contradictory. Lo kashya, there's no contradiction. Ha Rabbanan, source number two, is in accordance with the Rabbanan. That we saw at the end of the Tanaic source, on the Chof Amud Beis, we dashed underline that section of the ain loiva v'geil l'chatzoyin by the Bote Ore Chayma. And source number one, which gives that option for Moicher Bayis Bote Yechoyim of Leiv Agov Agov Chatzoyin, that's Reb Shimon. And that is, in effect, what Rav Sheshes had responded when the issue came up of Moicher Bayis Bote Yechoyim. The Gemara, I'm sure it's quite obvious to you now, is very, very intertwined. We were dealing with the topic of Makdish Bais Batei Choma, and at the same time we started dealing with the Makdish Stei Achuza. And our markings are designed to help keep things straight. As we said, on the one hand, you've got Moicher Bais Batei Choma, Goyel Nigal Lechatzoyin, or Eino Nigal Lechatzoyin, and the topic of Makdish Stei Achuza, what leniencies are available there. And the Braisa said that with regard to Makdish Stei Achuza, we need a pasuk to tell me because if we didn't have the pasuk, if I were left to applying logic, the last point the Braisa had made, I would have said no, he's not loy v'vegoel chatzoyin based on the din of moicher bayis bebotei orei choyma. On the fourth line from the top of Chof Aleph Amar Aleph, we see Rav Acha challenging the need for the pasuk. Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rav Ravashi, Ika lemifrach. I can challenge the logic of the Braisa. Ma lemoicher bayis bebotei choyma. The fact that moicher bayis bebotei choyma was not it has a weakness in that its time frame for redemption is not le'olam. It's not until the yovel. It's restricted. It's only within 1 year. So it has this weakness to it. Therefore, there I say is not loyva v'gavagav chatzoyin. Timer b'matish shi'ofa koychol ligal le'olam. Matish te'achuza is not limited to 1 year. He can redeem it up till the yovel. If he has that amount of time in which to redeem it, much longer than you have by Batei Chomer, who has a strength. And being that it has that strength, even without the pasuk, I would conclude by the Makdish Stei Achuza, he's loyva v'goyel v'goyel l'chatzoyin. What do I need the pasuk for? The response. And we should point out that on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei / Mivne heading, these volcano shapes are a ma'akav. It's here to keep track of the give and take. And with the narrow part facing up, kushyos ha-maskanos ha-braisa. These are challenges to the conclusion of the braisa l'chofamid beis. What did the braisa say? The tzorach pasuk. That I need the pasuk, and without which I wouldn't have concluded thus. With these volcano shapes, narrow part facing up, we're trying to show that I could conclude that without the pasuk. The inverted shape, shuvos shemarish tzorach pasuk. We're gonna with these. When you see the inverted shape, we're trying to show you need the pasuk of Vimgol Yigal. The Beli Pasuk, you see Masik Deina Level Vegoil Vegoil Chatzoyin. Without the pasuk, I wouldn't have concluded that a Makdish Stei Achuza could borrow and redeem in parts. So now let's continue with the inverted volcano shape. Notice we have a long marking. Omar le Rav Acha Savo le Ravashi. You want to know why I need the pasuk? Mishum deiko le meimar. Because there's room to say nehader dino tesi b'mahatzad. We'll gather together the common denominators of the topics we've mentioned up till now, and come to a conclusion through the common denominators of the various topics, resulting in Makdish Stei Achuza not being able to be Loiva V'Goyva L'Chatzoyin. We find the inability in other topics, we would apply that over here to Makdish Stei Achuza. Therefore, I need the verse to undo the logic that would have resulted from applying the following common denominators. And here we go. Moicher Stei Achuza Yodiach. Let the case of sale of Stei Achuza prove that ein loyva v'goyel l'chatzoyin. How? She'yofa koichu ligol le'olam. There isn't any time restriction on the mocher Stei Achuza, and yet the ein loyva v'goyel l'chatzoyin. So I would say that Makdish also has those, that element of Yafa Kecha Liga Le'olam, and therefore, just like by the Merchus Deruza, it's Ein Loiv Gevel Chatzoy. Same thing with Makdish Deruza. Ah, but you can't learn from Merchus Deruza. Mala Merchus Deruza, Shekein Hora Kecha Liga Miad. The sale of a Steruza has a certain deficiency to it, has a weakness to it, in that the owner can't force its resale within 2 years. It can't be resold or bought back immediately. So I can't really use Moicher Steachuza to teach me a limitation regarding Makdish Steachuza. Because Makdish Steachuza has a strength in that the owner can force the buyback immediately. Force the redemption, or redeem it immediately from the base of English. All right, well, Mocher Bayis Bebote Ore Chomo Yochiach. The case, the sale of houses in walled cities will prove that even though you have something that is Nigal Miad, you still cannot Leuva Vigavul Chatzoyen. So just by saying that Moicher Steachuza has a strength, let me correct myself. Just by saying that the Makdish Steachuza has a strength in its Goyal Miyad, that doesn't mean it's going to be Lev Goyal Chatzoyin. Here you have, by the Boter Chum, that precedent. That will prove it. The Chazar Adin. But you see, the logic starts to revolve, because if you're going to say that Moicher Bayis Bebatei Chum is going to be your precedent, but it has a weakness to it, and that you only have up to a year to redeem it, not so in the case of Makdish Steachuza. So you have this revolving logic. Lo Roize Keroize, this one is not with the same characteristics as that one. However, Hatzar Ashova Shebohen, the common denominator between them, regarding the Moicher Steachuza and the Moicher Bayis Bebatei Chum, what common denominator do we see? She Nigolin, they are subject to redemption, to buyback. V'ein Loiva V'Goyvel Chatzoyin, and they cannot be redeemed through borrowed money, nor through partial redemption. So Afani Ovi Makdish Nigdal V'ein Makdish, one who sanctified his Steachuza Nigal, it can be redeemed. V'ein loiv v'goyel v'goyel chatzayin. This idea, it can be redeemed, just like the other two can be redeemed, and just like the other two, no borrowing and no partial. So too here, by makdish seachuz v'ein loiv v'goyel v'goyel chatzayin. Oh, so you see that through applying the logic of the common denominator, the makdish seachuz would not be able to borrow nor redeem in parts. Therefore, I need the pasuk by the Makdish Steachuza v'imgol yugal to tell me otherwise. To tell me he can borrow and he can redeem in parts. Omer lei marzutra brei derav mori leravina ika lemifrach. Once again, an attempt to show I don't need the pasuk. You were trying to justify the pasuk by the tzad hashove. Ma la tzad hashove shebohen. The Moicher Bayis Bebatei Chum and the Moicher Steachuza Shekein Hora Kecham Ligal Bezhana Shnia. Take a look at the second year of their respective sales. Can they be redeemed in the second year? Well, the bias in the Bebatei Chum is certainly not, because he had only 1 year to force the buyback. In the case of the Moicher Steachuza, in the second year, no, we have to leave it in the hands of the purchaser for 2 full years. Toimar b'makdish, sheyofekoychu ligal b'shana shnia. The makdish, if it's been in the hands of the Beis HaMikdash for a year and a half, after 18 months, he can force its buyback, he can redeem it. So just like it has that strength, so too, he can loyva v'goyvel chasson. What do I need a pasuk to tell me that for? What do I need in go'ol yigal by makdish? Amalei Ravina, Mishum de'ikol emifrach. I said, Mishum de'ikol emeimar. You want to know I need the pasuk? Because I have the following response. Eved Ivri, hanimkar le'oved kechovim, yochiach. The case of the Jew sold to the Gentile. will prove to the contrary. Sheyofe koichoi ligal b'shona shniya. He can be bought back, he can be redeemed in the second year of his service. V'ein loiva v'goyel l'chatzoyen. And in the case of the Eved Ivri sold to the Gentile, there's no allowance for borrowing the money, nor partial redemption. So this idea of a strength by virtue of second year redemption, nope. By the Eved Ivri sold to the Goy, the Pasuk said v'nigal, which means entire, all or nothing, not halves. And the Pasuk had said, oh, he sigo yodo. You have come up with the money, not borrowed money. Therefore, when it comes to Makdish Steachuza, I can't rely on the strength of Geula Bishona Shnia to in and of itself allow me to conclude Lo Yivgal Chatzoyin. I need the Pasuk. Without the Pasuk, I would have looked at the Eved Ivri Nimkar Lo and come out with the conclusion otherwise. So you can see that we justified the need for the Pasuk of Avim Gol Yigal by the case of Makdish Steachuza to enable the owner to borrow money for its redemption from the Beis HaMikdash, and if he would want to redeem it in part, that too. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.